Well, as you've no doubt figured out for yourself by now, this morning, the future of the clean energy target is a long way from guaranteed after tensions over energy policy flared in the coalition party room last night. More than 20 MPs spoke out against the Finkel plan to reduce carbon pollution by supporting renewables like wind and solar at the indirect expense of coal. Earlier, we heard from Craig Kelly, who's the chair of the government's backbench energy committee, and he says the government's priority should be pursuing the cheapest option when it comes to generating electricity.
It's not that people have a love for coal because of coal for itself. There's no ideological disposer towards coal. We simply have to have, if we're going to have productive industries in this country, if we're going to have competitive industries, if we're going to have a wealthy community and the ability to pay for all the things that government wants to pay for, we've got to generate electricity at the lowest possible cost.
Josh Frydenberg is the Minister for the Environment and Energy. It's his job to convince coalition MPs to accept a clean energy target. His job's been made a lot harder, I think, after last night's meeting. Minister, welcome.
Nice to be with you, friend.
Has the Prime Minister's plea to take the politics out of energy failed? And one of your own colleagues is quoted in the Australian newspaper today saying Finkel in its current form is dead. Will we ever see a clean energy target in this country?
Well, in response to that quote, I would paraphrase Mark Twain and say reports of the death of Finkel are greatly exaggerated. I think there was strong support for a number of his recommendations last night in the party room, specifically about requiring renewables to provide more storage, having a 3-year notice of closure period to ensure that we get a more stable system overall. I think they were well received. Of course, on the clean energy target recommendation, colleagues were very interested in looking at the modelling, which was released yesterday afternoon, and to find out more details about how it could drive down prices, because their primary concern and the feedback from their electorates is that businesses and households are doing it very tough when it comes to electricity prices, and they want to be certain that prices will be lower under any policy that we proposed and followed through with.
And do you think your colleagues understand the politics of this? I mean, Barnaby Joyce, the Deputy Prime Minister, National Party leader, told the party room the government will be punished, just like the Conservatives in the UK were punished, if it can't end the uncertainty over energy policy. I mean, do you agree? If you can't land a clean energy target, where's that government going to leave the government standing in the community?
Well, I think the colleagues clearly understand that business as usual is not an option, but they're also understandably frustrated that the states, who have historically owned the generation, the distribution, the retail assets in the electricity sector, and are now, in the case of Victoria, putting restrictions on the development of their gas reserves, or in the case of Queensland, the state-owned generators have been gaming the system at the consumer's expense, or in South Australia, the state government did not prepare for the high penetration of renewables with sufficient storage. They think the states are getting away too lightly, and I think they have a point. So the politics is a lot more complicated than just looking at the federal government for solutions.
Well, except the population wants leadership. I mean, I think that's clear. It is also clear that a significant section, not a majority, but a large rump of your party room, won't accept what Alan Finkel modelled, a target set at 0.6 tonnes of carbon output per megawatt hour, because that's a threshold that would exclude coal, apart from coal capture and storage, which is largely untested, really, in this country. How far are you prepared to go to modify that benchmark to bring your colleagues in under this?
I think it's important to understand that I didn't take, and the Prime Minister didn't take, to the party room yesterday a specific proposal.
No, but they're not silly. They know what we're looking at, and they know what Finkel has modelled.
But I think it's very important to understand that context. We went to the party room yesterday to explain what is happening in the energy market and what the Finkel report had recommended. And it was an important opportunity for people to air their issues and their concerns about what is happening in this sector and to provide new ideas for going forward. So I don't think we should be jumping the gun here to say we're settling on 0.6, 0.7, or indeed the clean energy target
But that's key. You're going to have to settle on something, and this is where the argument. I mean, we heard from Craig Kelly. He leads the Coalition's Backbench Energy Committee. He says that the higher that benchmark, the more effective it would be, arguing essentially that if you had a higher threshold, say 0.75, which is a fair way on top of that 0.6 that Finkel was talking about, then supercritical coal-fired power generators would be more competitive, and therefore there's more incentive for companies to build them and phase out dirtier old coal-fired power generators. Are you persuaded by that argument?
Well, I certainly understand the importance of coal in the energy mix and how these high-efficiency, low-emission coal-fired power stations can reduce the carbon footprint themselves by around 40%. And if you do combine that with carbon capture and storage by 90%, and one of the important...
Yeah, but let's stop. I mean, you're dreaming with carbon capture and storage in the short term.
Hang on, Fran. Hang on. There are 17 carbon capture and storage projects in place around the world. I visited one coal-fired power station
in Texas
recently.
We have spent hundreds of millions of dollars on trying to build this capacity.
The point, right? And I'm glad you've raised it with me, because just last night, Bill Shorten put out a press release saying he wouldn't support the government's move to change the Clean Energy Finance Corporation's legislation in order to allow carbon capture and storage. This is so hypocritical. I mean, if Bill Shorten wants to be bipartisan and put aside the politics of climate change and to say that he wants to end the climate wars, then the first thing he would do is stay true to his commitment to the Australian people. Just last year, in the lead up to the election, when he said the Clean Energy Finance Corporation should be technology neutral, he would stay true to the words of all of his front bench over the years, saying carbon capture and storage is the answer. He'd stay true to the words of the International Energy Agency, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the big companies BHP and BlueScope and Shell that welcomed the government's announcement just a few weeks ago about the CFC. This is him playing politics. He should not get off lightly. He says one thing about wanting to be bipartisan, and then when it comes to the practice of that, he walks away from it.
Yeah, but we're trying to work on a policy that's going to, you know, that's realistic, that's going to deliver clean energy.
Absolutely.
Now, yes, carbon capture and storage might do it, but by any analysis, it is a long way up off. What is more possible is so-called clean coal, these supercritical low emissions coal-fired power stations. But Alan Finkel himself says, I can tell you, he says it's unlikely a new coal station will be built in the system envisaged by his review. He said if proponents can get legal permits from government to build a coal station, they can go out and do it. But it would be surprising if governments were to endorse a scheme that incentivised them.
Well, there's two points to make. The first is, through Alan Finkel's model, he does keep the coal in the system
much longer than would otherwise occur.
That's absolutely right. The other point he makes is what is missing currently is a level of regulatory certainty where companies, whether they're coal or gas or indeed renewables, can go to their financiers and say, this is the environment in which we're operating. That's why we need finance to make a 30 to 40 year bet. Now, if you got that level of regulatory certainty, whatever the model may be, then you're much more likely to see a coal-fired power station be retrofitted and upgraded and maintained in a proper sense, or indeed built as a new one, as long as there's that regulatory certainty. And that was a message that I kept reiterating to my colleagues yesterday, and I think they understand the need for that level of stability in the system.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 7:45. Our guest is the Federal Energy Minister, Josh Frydenberg. I suppose the question is, why would we need it if the clean energy target works and renewable energy industries are given the incentives to build? The prices are coming down on renewable energy, the capacity is going up, and there is that recommendation in the Finkel review that any new renewable energy plants be accompanied by storage. Craig Kelly, who's very concerned about baseload power and the problems with phasing coal out, basically said to us today that if that was ticked off, if the storage component of this plan was insisted there to be included in any new renewable energy project, then he could be persuaded to support a clean energy target. So is the government going to adopt that recommendation, all new renewable energies to have storage alongside it?
Well, that was one of the points that a lot of colleagues expressed confidence in yesterday in the party room. And of course, we will consider the report in its whole. And then the cabinet will make a set of recommendations that will be discussed at length in the party room in due course. And then the government will respond publicly. But the point is, we need an all of the above approach, a technology neutral approach when it comes to our generation mix. Coal will continue to play a critical part. Not all electrons are created equal, Fran. You know that. Whether it's coal or gas or hydro, that can provide power 24/7. When it's intermittent sources of power, wind and solar, it needs storage backup. And one of the good recommendations out of the Finkel report is that AEMO and the AMC, the two key regulatory bodies in this space, would be able to make a recommendation to the energy ministers as to the amount of storage that would be required by these new sources of intermittent generation coming into the system.
So you're inclined to go with that?
Well, there was strong support for it. It does seem common sense, and it's not obviously as much of a political battleground as some of the other ones.
And just very briefly, Craig Kelly also suggests that given the new technologies, the renewables are developing quickly, and over time they will develop faster ways to bring down emissions at a lower cost. Is it a good idea to leave the heavy lifting of the Paris targets to later years? So in a sense, backload the clean energy target to later years, because by then the renewables will be even cleaner. Will you consider a suggestion like that?
Well, our goal is to meet the 26 to 28% reduction in our emissions on 2005 levels by 2030. In terms of when the heavy lifting is done, it needs to be done obviously before 2030, but it should be done in a way that encourages the lowest cost of abatement and that drives down electricity prices. I want to keep coming back to that point. We've seen businesses and households do it tough with a higher electricity prices. We had a big discussion yesterday about gas, and Malcolm Turnbull has already announced that he'll be intervening in the gas market to put export restrictions in place to ensure that we get lower prices. We're taking other steps to rein in the network costs and the retail costs. It's an all of the above strategy from us, because we realise there's not one single silver bullet to the electricity prices increase, and we do need to do better than we've done in the past, but it does require federal and state cooperation, and of course it will require in the end some form of legislation.
Josh Frydenberg, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Josh Frydenberg is the Minister for the Environment and Energy.